The Chumash, both in Parshas Pinchas as well as in Parshas Maaseh, records a fascinating sugya, and that is the sugya of Benos Tzlafchad. Benos Tzlafchad, the Torah tells us here in Parshas Pinchas, as an example, in Perek Chav Zayin, Sefer by Midbar, but to Krivana Benos Tzlafchad, Ben Chefer, Ben Gila, Ben Makar, Ben Menash, Ben Mishpachas, Menashe, Ben Yosef, the doors of Tzlafchad came and they approached Moshe Rabbeinu, V'ta'amodna lifnei Moshe, and they had a little bit of a very, very strong question. Avinu based by Midbar, our father passed away in the Midbar. He wasn't left. Uvanim lo hayu lo, he didn't have any children. And the Benos Tzlafchad wanted to know, would they be able to be Yoreish Nachla also? It looked from the Pesukim when describing what was going to be the case, who was going to inherit the land in Eretz Yisrael. So it appeared as if that was only going to be given to men. Benos Tzlafchad were coming and they were wondering, they wanted to know, since their father passed away, would they be able to get their Nachla? What exactly would be the case? This is an interesting question in terms of what exactly was motivating Benos Tzlafchad. And it becomes an interesting question, in particular in certain contemporary perspectives, when there are those who are questioning to what extent was what, obviously, it's somewhat anachronistic to really compare them, but to what extent was there, are there early seeds almost of a feminist kind of an orientation? You know, why are the men getting it and not the women? So what exactly is motivating Benos Tzlafchad? Is it coming from a place that has at least elements of a certain equality between genders? Or is there something very different that's actually motivating Benos Tzlafchad? So we're going to try to suggest today three different approaches in terms of what was motivating Benos Tzlafchad. And hopefully those three approaches can shed some interesting light on that question in particular, but also in terms of some other, I think, very beautiful ideas about Benos Tzlafchad. One mahalach, which I think is the mahalach that you find in a couple of places in the Medrash, is that that actually was somewhat what was bothering Benos Tzlafchad. The Yalkut Shimoni, Sefer Yehoshua, the Sifri, here in the Parsha, opens up the Sifri as an example, Kevin Shashamu Benos Tzlafchad. Sha'aret Mishalekas Toshvatim Lizcharim V'lo Nekevos. That part of what got things going a little bit for Benos Tzlafchad was the fact that they saw that only men are going to be inheriting these things and not women. Then what happened when they witnessed that? Niskaftu Kulan Zoza Lital Eta. They started having a discussion to figure out what they should do. And they were eventually going to make the time that Basta Vadam Rachmav Al Zacharm Yosef and Hanakevos. Aval Misha Amar Vahaya Ha'olam Enochain El Rachmav Al Zacharm Vianakevos. Verachmav Al Hakol. Like we say, Tov Hashem Lachol. Verachmav Al Kol Masav. That what seems to have been motivating them, according to the Medrash, in one perspective, was this question of equality. Was this question of equality that they also wanted to have a certain kind of role. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh points that out also in one day in the beginning of his commentary here, that maybe part of what was motivating them was Lefish Arsim Haisa Masha Amar B'Samach Ish V'Yamar B'Sifri Yatzu Nashim. That part of what may have gotten them going a little bit was the fact that Dafka men were getting it and not women. It is important to point out the way that Rashi quotes also from the Sifri, that even what the Benos Tzlafchad's question was a question dafka uvek ki ein lo ben, because they didn't have sons. What Benos Tzlafchad were requesting was not complete equality. It was not if there was a son that they should get it, but certainly one finds elements of a desire for a certain, which was motivating them, was this difference. Now, how much it can be used as a model or not, we're dealing with different eras, we're dealing with people that went to Moshe Rabbeinu and how significant that really is, and the manner in which they went, and that's Nor HaChaim there. But again, as far as on one level, was what was motivating them, a desire for a certain kind of equality in the genders, albeit maybe not full, maybe not entirely the same, but at least something there that does seem to be the case. However, there are two really other approaches that one finds in some of the Mefarshim here. There are some that point out on the level of Pshuto Shel Mikra. Elchanan Samet has a very long discussion about this in general. Was it a certain kind of feminist desire that they had, a certain kind of equality, or was it not? So he points out, according to the Pshuto Shel Mikra, that what really seems to be motivating them is the Pasuk Dalet here in Parshas Pinchas. Again, it impacts what's going on in Parshas Maaseh also. Lama yigara shem avinu mitoch mishpachto. What seems to have really been bothering them, according to the Pshuto Shel Mikra, is less a question about their actual, about them, men versus women, and them receiving it, but it was really a certain kind of sensitivity to their father's legacy and to the continuity of the family name. a family name many times in Chumash, one finds elements of this in Chazal also, is very much tied towards Nachala. It's tied toward that which I inherit. A lot of connections here to Yibam. We know that we learn from Yibam also that we are very sensitive to the continuity of a family name, that if a person passes away, he has no children, he has a brother, his brother Yibam is going to, there is a mitzvah, again, chalit is also an option, but there's a mitzvah of Yibam there to generate, to allow there to be a certain continuity. And in that sense, Rabbi Samet does suggest that's really what's, that is really what's going on here, and something which I think is very important. A McGill student wrote a blog post about this a while ago, quoting different perspectives, but I think those are two very important ones. One, that it was Chazal motivating a certain kind of equality, and the second one, which again, my student pointed out there at length, which is one from Rabbi Yochanan Samet, in terms of the desire for a continuity, the family name, that if he loses his land, and then suddenly there's going to be a certain kind of a fallout in terms of their father's legacy. There is a third perspective, and it's a very, very beautiful one. I'd like to add a bit of an additional piece to it. If you look, so Rashi points out that in the beginning of the presentation, we have a long discussion of the lineage of Benos Slavchad. But to Grivana Benos Slavchad, Ben Chefer, Ben Gila, Ben Makir, Ben Benash, Ben Shvachas, Menashe, Ben Yosef. We're told a lot about who these Benos Slavchad were, and the connection goes all the way back to Menashe, Ben Yosef. Rashi points out, Lama Ne'emar, why are we telling, why are we learning here that it goes back all the way to Menashe, Ben Yosef? To teach us that just as Yosef was Chiviv Esa'aret, Yosef loved Eretz Yisrael. Rashi points out, but the Medrash points out, Yosef is at times identified as being as Hodeh Be'artzo, as someone who's connected very much to his land, to Eretz Yisrael. Yosef desires, as Rashi quotes, that his bones, that he should be reburied in Eretz Yisrael. Yosef's Chiviv Esa'aret, and so too Benosav Chivivu Esa'aret. That Yosef's daughters, Yosef's progeny, also very much from Rechayiv Esa'aret. In that sense, it's not coincidental that Dafka, the Benos Slavchad, who are coming with this comment, it's not coincidental that Dafka, they are the ones who have this. Rav Moshe Tzvi Neri, one of the great Talmidim, Rav Kook points out, it's possible there were other people in similar circumstances. It's possible that there are other families there, but it's Dafka Benos Slavchad. What seems to have been motivating them, at least according to this day in Rashi, or at least from the Medrash, at least with part of it, is this incredible love of Eretz Yisrael. So while it's possible that all these approaches are not mutually exclusive, but part of the thrust here is a certain ahava for Eretz Yisrael. Rav Neria points out an astounding ha'ara, and a very, very beautiful one at that. The Kli Yakar relates to this also, in terms of the connection of women to Eretz Yisrael. But Rav Neria asks the following question. Is it not interesting that it's Dafka Yosef and Yosef's children who have this connection to Eretz Yisrael? Of all of the children of the Shvatim, Yosef's are the only ones that didn't grow up in Eretz Yisrael. I would have been able to understand had you told me that any of the other Shvatim were able to ingrain in their children a very close connection to Eretz Yisrael. Because I would have understood that they were there. It was a natural part of their life to feel that close kesher to Eretz Yisrael. But how is Yosef? Yosef's kids were brought up in Mitzrayim. Yosef's kids, they were the children of royalty there. I assume they were exposed to a very high standard of living, especially for that time. And they had the desire to go to Eretz Yisrael. They were Mechavi Vesaretz. That is something which is fascinating. And Rav Neria suggests that we see from here something incredibly important. All of the other Shvatim, so their children had a certain natural desire to be in Eretz Yisrael. It was Tiv'i, it was part of their nature. And that was nice and it was powerful. But Yosef was able, through the incredible chinuch, the incredible education of Yosef, the way that he spoke about Eretz Yisrael, the way that he clearly himself was Mechave Vesa'aretz, the way that even when he was in Mitzrayim, he was thinking about Eretz Yisrael, that was something, it was not natural for his children to love Eretz Yisrael. But because of the incredible education of Yosef, because of the incredible, incredible job he did in chinuch, his kids were able to appreciate, his kids were able to ingrain within themselves something which, as Rashi points out, got passed down to their children and their children's children all the way, this incredible, incredible love of Eretz Yisrael, though they themselves were never actually zocha to be there. Three different approaches what was motivating Benos Slavchad. According to some of the Midrashim, what seems to have been motivating them was a desire to have a kind of equality. Why only men get it? Women should also have some sort of a portion, at least in this kind of a circumstance. Certainly they went to Moshe Rabbeinu and asked. They did it with a certain degree, the Or Chaim points out, a certain degree of humility as they're approaching. They went to Moshe, who had an incredible line directly to the Ribbono Shel Olam, but it was motivated on some level from a certain kind of equality. The second approach, that which emerges more from the world of Pshuto Shel Mikra, the desire that Shem Avinu, that our father's legacy, our father's name should be able to continue. We don't want it to stop right here. We want it to be able to persist. The third idea, that it really came from an incredible love of Eretz Yisrael, a love of Eretz Yisrael found dafka through the children of Yosef, something which Yosef, though his children were born and raised in Mitzrayim, he was able to give over, and something which his children were able to continually feel. We may be zochah to feel that connection to Eretz Yisrael, whether we are in America or we're in Chutz La'aretz, or whether we are in Eretz Yisrael, to have not a natural connection, but also an appreciation and a recognition of just the deep connection that Klal Yisrael has. Thank you very much.